Welcome to Hagman. Excuse me. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for Wednesday, March 18, 2026. I almost said 2025. I want to ask you folks about last night in terms of the PSYOP, the behavioral analysis, linguistic analysis, the reading body or reading nonverbal communication. Those people joining us in the chat, joining us live, please do me a favor. Tell me, just with a yes or a no, tell me if you liked that part of the show, if you liked that emphasis, a topic, the subject matter. I'd like to know that. I do believe right now, as I said last night, and I'll just say this again, coming into the show, we are living in an illusion. Excuse me, I'm sorry. In an illusion. The things that we see playing out in front of us are performative, largely performative. And we are not seeing a lot of things getting done. In fact, we're seeing a lot of things going in reverse. We have to understand, A, the larger agenda at play, B, who's behind the agenda, C, who is complicit in facilitating the implementation of that agenda, D, who is recognizing what's taking place and talking about it, and those who are involved in perpetuating it. We have to, I think that that's really important for everyone to really grab a hold of right now. That, to me, is one of the most important things we can do. Because with all of the lies, all of the misinformation out there, if you think about it, the one thing that's going to save you is recognizing and then acting upon the things that are coming at you. I think that's important. With me tonight for the entire show is Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net, freedomtrain.net. Folks, if you haven't gone there, check it out. He's got training. He's got weapons training for the normal average person like you and me. He builds quality, unique, absolutely excellent weapons platforms. And he does a whole lot of other things too. Maybe we'll get into some of that later. But with me again is Sam Andrews. And understand what I just said. And in addition to that, understand that we are under attack. Our rights are under attack. Remember, our rights are not defined or not given, granted by any government. They're given by God. They're taken away by our government. And we're seeing that take place right now. So Sam is with me. Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net, Freedom Center USA. He's with me right now, and he's going to be with me the entire show. And I really am going to lean on him to carry the topics for tonight in an order of triage that we need to really follow. Guy's brilliant. Yeah, I recognize brilliance when I see it, and I've got to say, he's brilliant. So, Sam, let's talk about what's going on. Let's talk about, let's triage things. Let's talk about our rights being taken away, even under the Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
And the fallacies, which a lot of people are falling for. Come on board.
Doug, thanks for having me tonight. I hope everything's going well. You look great.
Yeah, I feel great, and thanks for allowing me to be had.
Not sure what that means, but I'll go with it.
The words just kind of fell out of my mouth. I don't know. It's good to see it. It's a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of important stuff. I mentioned yesterday, Sam, just real quick, that it seems like all of the podcasters out there, not all, the majority, the onslaught of podcasters, social media influencers. They're auditioning. They're selling instead of telling. In other words, they'll talk about the greatest popular thing that's in vogue, but how important is that versus what's really taking place and what we really should be focused on? So that is kind of why I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad we're going to focus on a variety of things. And so I'm going to let you do the triaging and the, of all the potential topics. You go forth and bring us your wisdom. Go ahead, sir.
Well, my first comment is to selling or influencing is that Christ said the truth will set you free. And so my recommendation to anyone is that we prioritize the truth. That's more important than anything else. Prioritize the truth. The truth matters. According to Christ, the truth will set us free. And since I'm sort of big on that whole freedom thing, you can check Galatians 5:1 if you want to know why. I'm a big proponent of freedom. I believe in free will. I believe that we are children of God and that we were given a free will and that our rights come from God, not from government. There are some things articulated in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution that enshrine in human words God-given rights, but they don't do God-given rights justice by any means. By any means possible. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is this two-edged sword that is the strength and the weakness of America. We are a huge place made up of 50 states, plus that little 10-mile diamond called D.C. and some other supposed territories, right? And it's fascinating to me the resilience of the American system because of our size. 50 different states, 50 different state governments. And the one I'd like to talk about first tonight is right in that illusion-delusion range that you discussed at the beginning. Cool. The state of Illinois, or what I call the state of lunacy, the state of confusion. When people call me and say, hey, I live in Illinois, I'm like, oh, wow, you're behind enemy lines. Okay. What's going on behind enemy lines? And I'm going to tell you why we joke about Illinois like that when we live in Missouri. If Eric wants to throw that slide up of the Illinois law, if he can cue that, we'll chat about real insanity by our supposed leaders. And that's a misnomer because they're not supposed to be our leaders, Doug. They're supposed to be our representatives. Their only function under our founding fathers' dictate is that they protect our life, liberty, and property. Well, I'm saying unequivocally that the fake leaders, the fake representatives of the citizens of Illinois are not doing their job. And I'll show you why. If you look at this slide, Illinois House Bill 4414. Starting January 1st, 2007, all handgun ammunition that is manufactured, imported into the state, sold, gifted, lent, or possessed must be serialized. They want a VIN number for every round of ammo.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not the height of insanity?
Well, not to digress from Illinois, but look, you have gun, well, essentially gun confiscation. I'm not going to try to
in Virginia,
speak tonight.
Right?
In Virginia, in Rhode Island, in other locations. So this is a full court press, but let's stick on Illinois because some of the key provisions of this bill, 4414, are absolutely insane. Okay, the handgun ammunition has to be serialized with a unique identifier. Are you out of your flipping mind? Go ahead, sir.
It's really hard to imagine the stupidity of this. The absolute insanity and stupidity of the people in Illinois that refuse over and over again to stand up for their God-given rights. You know, I always shudder when someone says, we're going to have to break it before we can fix it. But when you see things like this, what conclusion am I supposed to come to as a reasonable man? You want to serialize every round of ammo and make it a felony to be in possession of ammo that's not serialized? Do they have any idea that there are hundreds of millions of rounds of ammunition already in the state of Illinois?
And I don't look, Sam, when I looked into this bill, and I was familiar with this before tonight, but when I saw this, there's no way you can, number one, there's no way you can enforce it. Number two, you cannot make law-abiding citizens into criminals, or that's, you know, really in any representative republic that's frowned upon. And I see a lot of state versus state stuff about to happen, and fed versus state, which is already happening. But continue, sir. Yeah, it's crazy.
Honestly, this kind of crazy stuff makes me hope, honestly, that the Illinois government buildings start to look like Cuba's government buildings. I've really had enough of this. I mean, this is absolute insanity. And you cannot reason with people that are this crazy. It's the darndest thing I've ever seen. How could you come to the conclusion that you're going to make felons out of every owner of ammunition in the state of Illinois? I mean, Missouri has about 6 million. I would imagine Illinois' population has got to be at least triple that. Double to triple what's in Missouri. And if you've got 10 million people or more in the state of Illinois, you've got at least 6 million gun owners. The average gun owner has thousands of rounds of ammunition. What are they supposed to do with that ammo? They supposed to sell it? They supposed to move out of state? I mean, the insanity of these people. How do they justify this craziness? And, you know, I was talking to a good friend who's a Democrat. Both he and his brother are U.S. attorney generals, and he's coming down to shoot here on Friday, and we're going to use some peptides and work on his macular degeneration of his eyes.
Good. And
he's an old school blue dog Democrat. He owns guns. He believes in the Bill of Rights, not just the Second Amendment, but the First and the Fourth and the Fifth. You know, he's the kind of Democrat we had before JFK. You know, people that actually gave a crap about the Bill of Rights on some level.
Right.
You know, historically, the Democrats have been big on the First Amendment, and the Republicans have been big on the Second, and the Democrats have been big on the Fourth and Fifth. You know, the parties have over time just kind of chosen their pet amendments to the Constitution that they like to talk about and like to push. Personally, I'm a fan of all of it. Personally, I think we haven't done a good enough job articulating our God-given rights and our government papers and effects. But the bottom line is there are some good Democrats out there. Most of them are over the age of 70. The rest of them are nuttier than a pet raccoon. And you know, if you want to buy peptides for your pet raccoon, I'm not in, you know. I try not to wish bad things on people in general, particularly my fellow citizens, my neighbors. But when you get to a level of crazy that you want to violate my God-given rights and everybody's God-given rights around you, I have no use for you. I really don't.
Okay, about that. And by the way, you mentioned peptides for the people who are listening and just tuning in now or whatever. But hopefully we can talk about that because I had a lot of really some great good news, some great news, and some really fantastic revelations myself in the understanding of the mechanics. And I have a very profound appreciation now, more so than I did before, about what you're doing. But we can get into that later. But but on this issue here, and I do want to follow that up, on this issue of the where we're at today, I'm to the point, and Sam, look, what we saw with the COVID run, I don't know even what the dark years of America, the most recent dark years in America, taught me, at least it gave me a lot to consider, to contemplate, to think about. And I'm not talking about being reactionary. I'm talking about being responsive to the situations now and ahead of us.
Yes.
I have come to the conclusion, Sam, and after a lot of thought and being out, you know, in the wild, so to speak, dealing with people and seeing people, and then, of course, seeing the fringe of both, here's where I'm at with this. And you can build on this or change topics, but here's where I'm at. We have been brought to a point where this country is a failed Balkanization state. We are a captured operation, and inside this captured operation is this failed Balkanization and this forced integration. And I'm not talking about racial segregation or desegregation. I'm talking about this forced integration. And by doing so, we have now, or they, the people, well, hang on. We are at a point now where peaceful coexistence with one another is not possible because of the extreme difference of ideologies, the extreme bankruptcy of both spirituality and morality. And if we cannot coexist at the very basic level with one another, then nothing else is going to work. So what you said earlier, you know, knock it down, you know, it's almost like, yeah, I'm afraid, I am kind of afraid that we allowed us to get to this point. And yes, I said we allowed this to get this bad, because without, or with this tacit approval, or yeah, okay, you know, go ahead and do what you want, and that's fine. Just, you know, I'll just be over here, and I'll try to get along with you. That doesn't work. Just like the Islamic agenda, just real quick, and I'm going to finalize it with this. There are still people, there's too many people out there who believe Islam is a religion. It's not. It's a death cult. It's disguised as a religion, and it is a system, a political system of a certain ideological bias toward communism wrapped up in the fake flag of religion. Okay, in order to conquer the country or the area in which they occupy. And you know what? Too many people are afraid to talk like that. And too many people are afraid to say, if you were born with a dangling participle, then you're a boy. And if you were born with a couple of ovaries, you know, you're a girl. The chromosome thing. There's no in between. And by the way, marriage is between a man and a woman. Anything else is heresy. Anything else is demonic at worst, delusional at the very best, but it's wrong. Okay.
Yes.
And here's the, and I said this last night, and I'm going to repeat it one more time, and I'm going to shut up and back up and let you continue. If you are out there preaching the gospel of freedom to audiences, and I know just about every flippant person out there that's doing this. If you're out there preaching the gospel of freedom and you know, no, I'll say what I'll tell you how I feel, and you self-censor, you are in tacit compliance with the algorithms. So you'll get cute and use words like unalived because, well, those precious algorithms and your 50 cents per click or your whoever's sponsoring you, that means more to me than everything else. Well, you just told me what you are. And with a little more conversation, you're going to tell me pretty much how much you cost. We have freedom whores out there. We have spiritual whores out there. And it's, quite frankly, it's pissing me off. Okay, because we cannot win battles this way. We cannot say we are followers of Jesus Christ and God of the Bible by being meek and by tucking our tails and saying, oh, you know, no, I don't want to, I can't. No, you know what? You will. It's just on their terms or your terms. and I'd rather be on our terms. That's all I've got to say, Sam. Go ahead, sir.
Well, if I think you go back to the founding fathers, you'll find that we're fundamentally founded on Christian principles, Judeo-Christian beliefs. And we have deviated from those beliefs dramatically in this country. It's really interesting how the churches were deceived and how the leaders of the Christian churches were deceived. See, I'll draw a parallel to this. When I train law enforcement SWAT guys, I can tell after one lunch if I'm dealing with honorable guys in an honest cop shop with a good leader who holds them to standards, moral standards. And I can tell if I'm dealing with a corrupt cop shop because there's nothing in between. Generally speaking, with police agencies, you've either got a bunch of honest guys that are working hard trying to do the right thing, and the leadership of that police agency has weeded out the dirtbags. Or you have all dirtbags. Because if you're a police officer and you see your fellow police officer breaking the law and violating people's rights and doing things like murder citizens, bad shoots, that kind of thing, and you do nothing, you're complicit in the crime. So there is no half good guys, half bad guys in police agencies. You've either got almost 99% of them are good and they're trying to get rid of the one dirtbag that's left, or they're all dirty as all get out. Okay, so understand that. Now, in the same sense, when you talk about the Christian churches in America, most of them, their leadership has been deceived. The reason why you have good cop shops is because you have great leadership. They set standards. They control and call the ball. And if you don't play by the rules, you're gone. Here's the problem in the churches. Look at how many ministers have sexual deviancy issues. Look at how many youth ministers have been caught doing inappropriate things with young girls, teenage girls in the churches. Look at the ministers or the priests in the Catholic churches that were caught red-handed abusing children. It was like epidemic proportions. Remember 20 years ago when the head of the evangelical church was caught with his gay lover? Kanika Camp, the president of the largest, most respected Christian camp in America, was caught in a hot tub with a little boy doing terrible things. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sexual deviancy and the corruption in the leadership of the Christian churches is fundamental and foundational to the vast majority of American Christians being deceived. You have preachers preaching denominational norms rather than truth from Christ, a la the words in red in the New Testament. And when you deviate from the words in red, you have violated Christ's standards for who is his disciple. It's right there in John, probably chapter 8. You might want to read it. But Christ said, to be a disciple of mine, you must remain or continue in my words or teachings. Depending on your translation, it will say you must continue in my words, or you must remain in my words, or you must remain in my teachings. So anyone who deviates from what Christ taught is clearly, by Christ's own standards, not a disciple of Christ. And see, back to where the truth matters. I don't think it's a coincidence where Christ laid out the standard for who's a disciple of his, and also said quite clearly, the truth will set you free. This is not a coincidence, because the truth matters. And this is the problem with our society, is the greed and the will for political power, okay, and the psychotic will to exercise power over other children of God that have a free will, this psychosis that exists amongst our leadership and our representatives. Look at all the sexual corruption in Congress. Look at all the lawsuits based on sexual misbehavior by congressmen and senators. You think You think it's a coincidence that Pam Bondi said if we arrested everybody, the whole system would come down? She wasn't kidding. That may be the only thing intelligent I've heard her say in 2 years.
I'll second that.
You know, and it just goes on and on and on. But the good news is we're a big country. We have great Christian men in this country. They're not in politics, but there's some great men.
Sadly,
some of them are in our military.
Yeah.
Some of them are policemen. Very few of them are ministers, which is sad. But the truth is we have great men in this country that care about the truth. And those men are spread out all around this country. I've found them in almost every state. You know, we've trained people to Freedom Center from 47 different states. We get to have some very serious discussions.
Sam, I think you meant to say 48, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, probably 48.
Yeah.
But it's I've seen people from all over this nation. We've had people from Canada, Hawaii, 17 different countries. But I'll tell you, the best people we train are these Christian men that come out of Canada and come out of the United States. These North American Christian men are great human beings. They're spiritually and morally dialed in. So I have a lot of faith in this country. And I can tell you through my experience working with special operations guys when I was younger, that our spec ops guys are by and large Christians. They are rock solid Christian men. They are Christian warriors. And I'd put some of them on par with David. You know, the guy who took the first headshot in the Old Testament that was documented?
Right.
You know, the guy that took Goliath out?
Yeah, no, I get that. Yep.
But the bottom line is we have great people here, and we have tremendous power in our size and our variety. And while you have in Virginia and in Illinois and in California and in Oregon and Washington, these corrupt states that are trying to take away people's rights, and take control and basically put you under their thumb. For every one of those states, we have two states where people are protecting freedom and they're fighting back. Now, why the people in California and Oregon?
Wait a second.
Illinois.
Expand on that. Sam, my apologies. Expand on that. The two states that are fighting.
For every state like Illinois, we have two states that are the other direction.
I got it. Okay. I'm sorry. I misheard you there. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. We've got good people all over this country. And they are fighting for freedom. They are absolutely fighting for the truth. They are trying to protect this country so that their children and grandchildren can live in a better place. And God has empowered them. He has given them wisdom. Remember this, when people get really negative, I can tell you, I've been in so many situations that were lethal, where I could have died. And I can tell you this, God, through whatever mechanism, I can't explain, but he literally blinds the minds of the unbelieving. The evil people get blinded when it counts, and the good people have an advantage. That's, by the way, why we won World War II. Okay.
I would second that. If you know history, you understand what Sam is saying. And Sam, by no means, I mean, I can count on one hand and have fingers left over the number of times I've been in, you know, I thought, okay, this is it. But I will say this, on those occasions, yeah, there's something very spiritually divine happened. There was some divine intervention there, and I get that. So thank you for pointing that out, because I think that's a very, well, it's, if not the sole component, the most important component to the battle that we're about to enter into. Go ahead, sir.
Well, evil wants you falsely and deceptively to believe that you have no chance, that good is not going to win in the end. Correct. I promise you, the good guys win in the end. God made sure of it when he designed this system.
Yes.
It is absolutely critical that you have a righteous relationship with God, or you will not have wisdom. You will not survive in the long term without true wisdom and discernment. And Scripture promises us that God blinds the minds of the unbelieving. And so
yes,
when you're talking about the save the whales, kill your unborn child, satanic psychos, okay, they have no chance. They have no discernment. And when you talk about these people in Illinois and Virginia and Washington and California that want to confiscate people's magazines, confiscate their guns, take their rights away, take control of their life, you know, how'd that work for the Cuban government? Just asking, how's it going over there? How's it working for the Iranian government? This government that murdered over 500,000 of their own citizens over 47 years, and that had hundreds of thousands of political prisoners
been
jailed or murdered.
Sam, you mentioned Iran, and of course, you know, I want you to understand a few things, and certain people who listen to this show, they're going to love this, because Sam, you know what? I'm tired of fighting wars for Israel. I am tired of foreign intervention without provocation. I am tired of bombing countries when there's no imminent threat. I am tired of all of this. Boo friggin' who? Okay, no, of course I'm being sarcastic. But Sam, it's amazing to me how many people are absolutely flipping clueless and will call you and me all sorts of pejoratives because they themselves cannot or do not choose to see what's the evidence right before them. And that's a sad thing. Go ahead, sir. Because you know, mentioned Iran. That's a hot button thing right now. Go ahead.
For years, people have said or believed that the NRA was on the side of gun owners. And I have long said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? That the NRA has never seen a gun control bill they didn't want to back. Okay? They backed the 1934 Gun Control Act. They backed the 1968 Act. They backed the 1996 Assault Weapons Ban. They backed red flag laws. This is the National Rifle Association. Now, one might ask, why? Why would the NRA, with all these members paying dues, not defend their members? Well, I'm going to explain it to you. The NRA Law Enforcement Training Division, the other part of the NRA, run by retired FBI agents, they bring in 70-80% of the money to the NRA by training cop jobs. Who do you think calls the shots at the NRA? The FBI agents running the law enforcement training division that's bringing in all the money, or the civilian side that has a board of governors that tries to, you know, defend our rights, which they never actually do?
It's modeled after some of the more famous NGOs and okay, conservative organizations I can think of right now. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah. So let's carry that one step further. Who has more money, Israel or Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar? Who has more money? The Sunni countries or Israel?
Gee, let me think on that, huh?
That's a really
tough one.
Go ahead. Not even a close call, right? The oil money of Saudi Arabia,
of course,
dwarfs what Israel produces.
That's right.
Okay, and you add these other rich Kuwait, these other oil countries, why do you think Iran is attacking these Sunni nations? It's not just Israel, okay? We're not over there fighting Israel's war, okay? What we're doing is taking these super wealthy countries, Sunni countries, making alliances with them and fighting their war, not just Israel's war. So if you think we're over there just because of Israel, you're kidding yourself. Israel's a nice cover. But if you want to know who's saying, go get them, Donald, how about the king of Saudi Arabia?
100%.
The biggest conflict in the Middle East is not Israel and Iran. It's Saudi Arabia, the Sunni Muslims, against the Shiite radicals in Iran. They're the ones vying for dominance in the area. How about we bring some logistics, some financing, and some realism to these conflicts? Do you think Iran just shoots cluster bombs at Israel? They just shoot missiles at Israel? No, they fired it over 12 other Muslim nations.
Exactly. And Sam, look at the map. Eric the Tech, I'm sorry, I didn't bring up, but there is a map out there of the countries that have been hit, and some strategically hit by Iran. And the majority, like you said, the majority of the countries are within the Middle Eastern arena. And I would also say this. To those who are looking at this as some sort of prophetic, a group of this cabal of insiders at the White House pushing this prophetic return, okay, this acceleration of the Book of Revelation. If they believe that, let's just stipulate for a moment that's true. If that's what they're trying to do, they're idiots, because God dictated the book known as the Holy Bible, all right? So that we have a Holy Bible. It's recorded history. It's recorded prophecy. You cannot change, alter, or otherwise manufacture prophecy. Now, what you can do is engage in behavior that falls in line with that prophetic fulfillment. So, folks, be careful what you hear, what you listen to, and what you believe in. I'm just asking everyone to be intellectually honest with themselves, especially when we're talking about Christian eschatology. Okay, I just had to say that, but you're exactly right. Getting back to your point, the victims here primarily are the Middle Eastern countries that will cheer immensely when Iran is gone. And I find it interesting as well. And I think you mentioned World War II. And a lot can be said about this, but the fact that Great Britain, the UK, has essentially told America, you know what, screw you. Folks, look deeper into the reasons for that. Sam, I don't know if you want to opine on that, but I'm going to tell you right now, yes, we're getting assistance from the Middle Eastern countries, some of them, some covertly, some overtly, but where we're not getting the assistance is from the UK, and you got to wonder why. Because who benefits from a settled, peaceful, non-threatening Middle East more than the US? It would be the UK. It would be the Western countries there. But the UK has a very special interest, economic interest, and for them to say, hey, no, I'm sorry, let's sit back. No, that's all right. Yeah, wonder why. But go ahead, sir. Continue.
You know, I find it amazing that the NATO countries were not interested in helping clear the Strait of Hormuz. I think that's very telling.
Very much.
That they were very resistant to being involved in that. And honestly, they're economically not in a great position because of the decisions they've made. Politically, they have people that would prefer to see America fail.
Yep.
They would prefer to see Saudi Arabia fail. They would prefer to see Israel and Kuwait and some of these other Sunni nations fail, because it's a very Russian mindset. And I think I told this story once on your show about this Russian pilot that I used to guard. His name was Viktor Belenko. He was a chief test pilot of the Foxbat program. For the Soviet Union. And he escaped to a northern island in Japan, and we snuck him over here with a disguise. And I asked him one day, do you believe that Russia, now that the walls come down and the Soviet Union has been broken up, do you believe Russia can embrace democracy and republican principles and flourish economically? And he, of course, told me no. And when I asked him why not, he very clearly said, the only way I can explain it is to give you a metaphor of Russian mindset. It's basically what he said. And he told me the story about the two sheep farmers. And one of the sheep farmers, all his sheep died. And for 2 years, the sheep farmer whose sheep farmer died prayed to God, please help me, please help me, please help me. And at the end of 2 years, God said, I've decided to help you. And he said, really, God? you'll kill all the other guy's sheep. See, and this is the mindset of evil. It's not when someone's doing better than you to be creative and inventive and entrepreneurial and to exceed their success, springboard off their success to new heights. That's not the mindset of the Europeans. That's not the mindset of the Russians. The mindset of Americans is, if you did great, well, I'm going to figure out a way to do better than that. Well, the mindset of these European and Russian countries is, if you're doing better, is to pull you down below their level.
Which has been, and that's, it's consistent with the mindset, in my view, Sam. That's just a fantastic explanation, but it's also consistent with the mindset of what the oligarchs, the controllers, the communists that were in power, and even some of the people on the right that were in power over the last 50 years have imported into this country, and worse, have placed into positions of authority. So that mindset has pervaded all of our institutions and has eroded trust in some very important institutions, but rightfully so. But continue. Go ahead. Thank you for mentioning that.
And so to shift gears a little bit, let's talk a little bit about the end times, because I've listened to Christians talk about the end times since I was a child. And having read the Bible from beginning to end multiple times, I can tell you I've read the last book at least 7 times. So the most definitive thing we have on the end times is generally believed to be found in the book of Revelation. Funny thing is, all these people that believe we're in the end times, when you ask them, well, are we under a one world government? Have the banks and the political power been consolidated? And you go through the checklist on the things that Revelation says are precursors to being in the end times. None of that has happened, Doug.
That's correct. So, yeah.
Now, the advancement of technology and the advancement of weapons and AI, could the end times show up in a very short period of time? Possibly, but we're not there yet. We're not there. You look at what we've thrown at Iran, this tiny little country. Okay. I mean, it's just, Iran's not this big powerhouse from a military standpoint. And we've been pounding on them for the better part of 3 weeks with the most horrendous weapons known to man, from outer space, from aircraft carriers. It's just unbelievable. We have flown almost 9,000 missions and hit over 12,000 targets in 3 weeks. Right. That is a pounding by any measure. Nothing unprecedented in history. Yet Iran is still Iran. We haven't defeated the regime. They haven't rolled over. We killed their intel chief a few hours ago. That's going to help. But there's still more to do. This is what most people don't understand. When you do strategic planning for the Department of War or the Department of Defense, which is what it was called when I worked for the Department of Defense, you have to understand there's a lot of inertia in countries and militaries and equipment and oil. There's a lot of logistical things that need to be considered. There's a lot of targets. And you can't just hit them all in 2 days. It's impossible. Nobody has a military that big. You know, and so when you talk about accomplishing something with force, it's always a battle. And it never happens quickly. You know, we bragged about Operation Midnight Hammer and how we dropped some penetrators, 3 of them basically, on their biggest nuclear facilities.
That was June 22nd last year. Yes,
but we didn't get the enriched uranium. They've got over 1,000 pounds, over 500 kilograms of enriched uranium. We didn't get that out of there. Highly enriched uranium, by the way. And so did we really slow their missile program, their nuclear missile weapons program down? A little bit, not much.
It just made it more inconvenient for them, that's all.
Right, we made them go dig out their uranium as well.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing. You know, people, they want to be quick to judge. And I would caution you to be quick to judge anything that the Trump administration is doing. I don't agree with everything the Trump administration does, but I also don't agree with people criticizing people that they know nothing about. You know, everybody says, oh, we're out over there fighting Israel's war. The hell we are. We're fighting a war for the Sunnis, trying to eradicate this radical Shiite group that has murdered and killed and been the greatest sponsor of terrorism on earth for 47 years. Okay, now, unless they were a nuclear threat to us and I could prove it or I had strong evidence indicating it, I wouldn't have done what the Trump administration did. But I can tell you this, when I see evil being destroyed, I can't help but smile. I mean, they earned it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad they're getting what they're getting. And I'm glad these crooks running Cuba are under pressure right now. The world's going to be a better place. And see, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that you know, sometimes the biggest threats to us aren't Iran or Cuba. Sometimes it's the people inside the walls. It's the people inside the United States, the mentally ill ones that think by mutilating your own genitals, you can convert your DNA from XX to XY. These people are dangerous. They work for Satan. You know, you remember the FBI agent that was fired for outing an internal memo that showed that 95% of all the active shooters, the mass killers in America, had sexual identity crisis one.
Oh, yeah.
Two, were being treated by psychotropic drugs.
Yes.
Okay. You see where I'm going with this? There are people inside our government and inside our country that are far more dangerous to the American way of life and freedom than Iran is or that Cuba is. Now,
okay,
that swung a little bit the other direction when the hypersonic technology and the nuclear warheads on hypersonics started to proliferate. When those designs became feasible, now Cuba could be a big-time threat to the U.S., and Iran could be a huge threat. And you take Iran buying some Soviet torpedoes that can swim 3,000 miles, pop up 5 miles from the coast, and hit a city in 2 minutes with a nuke. Okay, that's a problem. So the reason I bring these issues up is because we have to be flexible enough intellectually to understand that threats are changing, that technology is changing. And with the proliferation of AI, that technology is going to change at a much faster rate than it has in the last 5 years. And we got to be smart enough to recognize this and give our president and our generals a little bit of leeway when they're doing threat assessment and dealing with what they consider to be legitimate threats, because we don't know all of the technology Iran was going to deploy against us. Unless you had the highest security clearance and were compartmented at a level of a 4-star general or higher, you don't know. I don't know. I've had compartmented security clearances. Some of it with technology I invented, some of it with on projects that I worked on. But it doesn't mean that I have any knowledge of anything that's going on today. Okay, because our whole system is heavily compartment. There are technologies and things not even the president's been briefed on.
Absolutely. Information siloed. People have to understand, from this part of this conversation, if you walk away with nothing else, understand the siloing of the very specific siloing of information, compartmentalization of information, where not everyone knows, and certainly the people who talk don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. My daughter, who became a Marine. And when she was little, she had a big poster on her wall of her bedroom. She she asked my wife to paint her bedroom completely camouflage. She was like 6 years old. And she wanted a camouflage bedroom. And she put a big poster on the wall of a Marine Corps sniper in a ghillie suit. Okay. And I used to call her my little Marine because she would do push-ups. She'd challenge when General Hollingsworth would come over to the house, she'd challenge him to a push-up competition, which he gladly obliged because he was in fantastic shape, even at the age of 62. And they would sit there on the living room floor and have push-up competitions. Absolutely hilarious to watch this go on between a two-star general, a Marine, and a little girl at 6 years old. It was one of the funniest things I ever witnessed. And when I divorced her mother, her mother remarried a guy named Rob, who was a mechanic in the Air Force. And one day she came to me and she said, "Can you explain security clearances to me?" So I explained the system of compartmentalization and that kind of thing. And she went and talked to Rob about it. And she came back when it was time to spend time with Dad again. She came back to the house and she said, "Rob says you're wrong. There's only three security clearances: top secret, secret, and sensitive."
Okay.
And I said, "Okay, slick. Well, Rob was a mechanic. He doesn't know anything." I said, "You can take your dad's word for it because I told you the truth, or you can talk to General Hollingsworth, who knows all about our system of compartmentalization, or you could do some research online and look up things like Q security clearances and other special security clearances that allow you to work with nuclear technology and some of these other things, and understand that Rob just doesn't know." And she just wanted her dad to be wrong for some reason on these issues. But the fact is, we have a system in our military and in our government that compartmentalizes things. If you don't have a need to know, you don't get read in. And if you're not read in, you have no way of knowing about any of the stuff that you haven't been read into. And so it's a very complicated deal, and our government abuses the privilege. They do it with redactions, and they do it by claiming security clearance. You know, they do it by claiming national security, all these things. And what they're really doing is hiding their corruption from the American people.
Bingo.
But on the other side, it's a good thing to have true compartmentalization.
Absolutely.
Because spies are real. The Chinese have over 500,000 spies in the continental U.S. The Israelis have over 250,000 spies. The Israelis have the biggest spy group in America other than the Chinese. And then who's number three? The people that spy us on the most other than the Chinese and the Israelis are the British. Yeah, see, so
there you go.
I mean, the spy game is real, and there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of spies in America right now trying to break that system of compartmentalization. And they try to get jobs at Raytheon and Boeing and at Sandia National Labs and Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and all these places to try and get some leading information on where America's headed technologically.
And to expand on that, Sam, just briefly, you know, this is what bothers me as well. You have the people who have been elected or otherwise installed in the various offices, whether they're mayors or representatives and what have you, different layers of power all across the U.S. And you have this, think back to what we've seen. We have seen people like Representative Swalwell, banging it out with Fang Fang, love me long time. And, you know, that's just one microcosmic example of what is taking place on a wholesale level. So not only are we fighting or attempting to deal with, address, and resist the spies, you know, the people that want to take intellectual property as well as secrets, and essentially they're bad people or engage in bad behavior. But we also have to deal with component that some of it's self-inflicted, some of it's invited in by leaders, some of our worst enemies, I believe, are currently in positions of power. And that power might be as simple as somebody on a school board or a city council, or it could be as high up as somebody within the executive branch, or certainly legislative and absolutely.
A U.S. senator.
There you go. Go ahead. So the fight. And so what bothers me again, because this topic, you know what, folks, this topic is not going to be made popular. You're not going to see this discussion on the top 10 of Spotify. Well, no, we're banned on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts or whatever. You're not going to see that. You know why? Because it doesn't have the flash. It doesn't have the dire headlines. It doesn't have that appeal to the non-intellectual people, the non-thinkers, because we live today, we live in this world where the intellectual power of most people is limited by their short attention span, because they have subjected themselves and allowed them to be subjected to things like, oh, character limitations on social media posts. And they think in sentence fragments or write in sentence fragments. They can't even punctuate a sentence properly. They cannot communicate properly. They cannot understand. Sadly, they cannot understand. So I said all of that just to simply say, the battle that we face is multifaceted. It's complex. You cannot break this down, in my view, you can't break it down in a chat room. You can't break it down in a forum. You've got to have an expanse of understanding, an expansion of understanding, and then use that understanding to have a discussion, and then to, in my view, Sam, and then I'm going to turn right back to you here, but develop, not just identify the problems, because we're really, I'll tell you what, we're damn good at that, aren't we, Sam? Identifying fraud. But you know what, today, fraud, California, was Minnesota, still going on. But we've identified it. Hey, yeah, rock on. And you know, the people who identified it, I'm not taking anything away from them. God bless those people. But where, you know,
where are the perp walks?
There you go. And see,
what are we arrested for?
There it is. And that's the mindset now, because people are, look, I want to hear solutions. Now, I got some solutions. They're not going to be popular. They're not going to be, in some cases, lawfully recognized. But you know what? I don't think we can vote our way out of this. I don't think we can be nice our way out of this. I don't think we can extend pleasantries and expect positive results. Kind of like trying to defend yourself in the house and having the DA prosecute you for, you know, being mean to the person trying to rape your wife. Okay. Look, I ain't having that. Okay. So just saying, you cannot exist in that environment. Go ahead, take it. I'm kind of rambling. Go ahead.
I got a great true story for you.
Okay.
You brought up the whole wife thing. There's a guy named Lee, black guy from Mississippi. He worked as a machinist at McDonnell Douglas before Boeing bought him. And this guy gravitated towards the Jehovah Witness religion. But he knew the Bible better than any minister I ever met in my entire life. Now, we didn't agree on things theologically, but we both loved to study the Bible together on Monday mornings, which was my day off. And he would come by the house every Monday, and we would sit down and study the Bible for 3 hours. And this guy was like, he was like a human, just unbelievable, like an encyclopedia. And if you wanted to talk about a given subject, he'd go, yeah, well, that's found in 14 places in the Bible. And he would name the chapter and verse. I mean, he knew the Bible like nobody I've ever met. And one day he brought four young Jehovah Witnesses with him. And two of them were married. They're a young married couple. They just got married. And somehow we got onto the subject of pacifism. And I made the case that Jesus confronted evil, and so should we. And even to the point of violently stopping evil in its tracks. And of course, he told me that Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in that, and that's not right, and blah, blah, blah. And I see this young couple sitting over there, and they're just arm in arm on the sofa, just snuggling, little lovebirds. And I'm like, isn't that cute? Okay, let's get real here. I said, all right, Lee, let me give you a scenario. Now, Lee always walked in with a cane because he had a really bad leg. And I said, let me ask you a question. I got a long sidewalk out to your vehicle out there. Let's say you guys leave after our Bible study and this guy jumps out from behind a tree, knocks this pretty young girl to the ground and starts to rape her. Are you going to hold to your pacifism and let him rape this young lady, or are you going to put a stop to it? And he folded his hands over the top of his cane and he rested his chin on the cane. And he thought for about 30 seconds and said, you know, Sam, I'd probably hit him with my cane and knock him out.
Oh, boy.
Now, that was the opposite of what he just argued. Right.
Well, right. But see,
okay.
There you go.
And I looked and I said, well, that's not the Jehovah Witness way. And he said, I know. And I looked at this young lady's husband, who she's just wide eyed, like, what are we talking about? And I looked at her husband and I said, are you going to follow the Jehovah Witness laws, the rules, the norms? Or are you going to protect your wife? He hesitated for 3 seconds. And she threw an elbow at him like a WWF wrestler.
I mean, damn right.
You know, and it was like, I'm going to hurt you for not manning up and saying publicly you protect.
Real men protect their families. And it is a sound biblical principle. You protect your wife. Now,
absolutely.
You protect your children. You protect your wife to the best of your ability. And that is righteous. That's biblically sound. The pacifism has no place. And I guarantee you, when our Lord and Savior comes back, I don't think pacifism is going to be on his list.
Well, it says he's bringing a legion of warrior angels with him to defeat evil forever.
Right.
I think you're exactly right in that regard. But my point being that when I tell you these leaders of American Christian churches have been brainwashed and indoctrinated, and they tell people, oh, no, we must turn the other cheek. And they preach this pacifistic garbage. Okay, turn the other cheek was meant for your family members and your neighbors. It wasn't meant for the terrorist group that wants to drop a nuclear bomb on your head.
Man, the Bible is so misquoted. Now, before we move off that topic, Sam, I don't mean to interrupt your flow, but I got a great Jehovah Witnesses joke. Everyone paying attention, you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Here's my Jehovah Witnesses joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Knock, knock. That's the joke. I'm just saying. Go ahead. I got a weird sense of humor. Continue, sir.
Oh, I got jokes for every single American religion, Catholic, Methodist, Protestant, Lutheran, you name it. I've got a joke for all of them.
But see, we can look. That's the thing. We can make fun of ourselves, you know. If you're secure and strong in your self-respect and your belief, you can make fun of yourself. And by the way, turn the other cheek, and really the entirety of the Bible is perhaps the most. I think it's quoted more often by people who have never read the entire Bible. And sadly, if you haven't read the Bible. And I mean, read the Bible, then, you know, sit down, be quiet, stay in your lane, and don't try to be a preacher. Just saying. But Sam Andrews, folks, is my guest. Sam Andrews, freedomtrain.net. The link will be in the program description box. Yes, at Hagman PI. Freedomtrain.net, Freedom Center USA. And you know what, folks? Do you still have your raffle? Open?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. It'll be open till the 1st of May. You know, I guess
right.
I think that first Wednesday in May, we may actually hold the raffle live on the Hagman Report if you want to do that.
Hey, let's rock, because folks, so here's the deal. Sam Andrews right now is going to tell you what this raffle is about, but there is a really sweet, nice, expertly, precision instrument. It's like a Stradivarius. If it was a violin, it would be a Stradivarius, or it was a piano. I don't know.
That's a violin.
I know. Self-deprecation. anyway, it's a weapon. It's an AR-15 platform. And you know what? I don't know if Illinois, residents of Illinois, maybe you should exempt yourselves. But Sam, tell us about this. Go ahead.
Well, to raise a little money, I had a guy in Virginia. He was a Marine, a really good guy. He called me and he said, you know, you're trying to raise money to cover these legal expenses and they're getting crazy. This thing's gone on almost 6 years now. He said, why don't you raffle off a couple of things? And he said, I'll donate $500, raffle off a $500 gift coupon for training, $500 off any training at the Freedom Center. And I said, you know, that's a good idea. I think I'm going to also do a first aid kit, an IFAC kit, and we'll raffle that off. And I'll do a big prize. People want to donate a lot to our legal fund, anything 250 or higher, I'm going to get a big prize, and I'll go grab that for you. It's sitting right here.
All right. Folks, I'm telling you what, to shoot a gun like that, if you've not ladies, if you're not into this, or some guys aren't into this, you may know someone who is. And there's a big difference in.
So this is the 308 sniper rifle with a carbon fiber triangulated forearm. It's got right here an adjustable gas block right there in the nose, so you can run it suppressed or unsuppressed. It's got a nickel boron nitrided bolt carrier you can see up here.
Yep.
It's got an adjustable PRS stock. It's got a $300 1¾-pound, very crisp hole trigger made by Hyperfire and then polished and managed by me to be a half pound less than the stock trigger. It has the best equipment in it. There's no play in the upper to the lower. It fits absolutely perfect. And I think I shot the first day I tested this rifle, I think I shot it at 1,000 yards and shot a 2¾-inch three-shot group with it. So it's probably the most accurate semi-auto 308 sniper weapon system ever built.
So that's chambered in 308.
Yes, sir.
All right. For some reason, I had that wrong. Okay, so that's a wonderful weapon. All right, so how can I possibly win this now?
If you send a check to the Freedom Center for $250 or more, for every $250 you donate to our legal fund, you get a ticket into the raffle bucket for that $8,000 sniper weapons.
There you go. All right, and the value of that weapon?
It's close to $8,000.
So, not a bad return. I'm telling you what, folks, take advantage of that.
Got about 20 donors that are in the raffle for the rifle.
Wow.
We've probably got 30 that are in it for the IFAC kit and the $500 off training. The cool thing about these IFAC kits, and I should text Eric the video of our special forces medic, got this IFAC kit on his body. And in a classroom, we clocked him. We said, go hit the stopwatch. And he had to unzip the kit, flip it open, pull a tourniquet out, slide it on the arm above the bleeding center on the student's arm, and tighten the tourniquet to stop all blood flow. How long do you think that took, Doug?
35 minutes, bleed out and...
It took him 8.7 seconds.
Oh, that's respectable. Wow.
To use this new TX2 ratcheting tourniquet and to get it full tight on his arm from inside the IFAC kit.
Okay.
That's how fast these special forces medics are with these new tourniquet designs. For years we had these Cat 2 and these soft key tourniquets, and they take 20 seconds to get them tight and stop bleeding. These new ratcheting tourniquets design that we include in this kit, along with X-Stat syringes, and I'll talk about that in a minute, they're just amazing technology. And in 2025, all of our special forces got the X-Stat syringes, and a number of them got some of these new tourniquet.
Okay.
New tourniquet designs. And they're just life-saving. We've actually had three students that took our combat medic course and stop the bleed classes. We've had three students in the last 3 years that have saved someone's life that was bleeding out.
I'll just say this. You know, you may think, well, hey, I'm just a guy, or just me. Why would I need something like that? Let me tell you something. If you've ever seen an arterial bleed, whether it's femoral or on the arm, you know, let me tell you something. You'll remember it, and also you will be begging for something like that. But think about you might come upon a car accident. Maybe you're in a car accident yourself with family members, friends, neighbor comes over. Hey, I saw this happen. Responded to a call. It was ugly. Remember those old shower doors that were glass? You know, those old bathtubs. You had sliding glass doors, and I'm not sure if you remember that or folks remember.
I do.
Did you ever see somebody like a 285-pound guy fall through those doors?
That's a bad deal.
Pre-1990-ish, you know, those doors were not the safety doors. They were made of glass. Yeah, let me tell you something. It's not fun to see. Certainly not fun to go through. But the equipment that you have makes all the difference in the world. Go ahead, sir.
I carry an IFAC on me when I'm training at the Freedom Center. These X-Stat syringes, if you get a bullet entry into what we call a junction area, okay, tourniquets don't work on junction areas. So how do we stop the bleeding quickly? Well, the old way from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was we used to take Z-folded combat gauze and pack it into the hole.
Yep.
And try and compress the bleed area by compressing that gauze, and that took time to pack a wound. Now we have these X-Stat syringes, and you literally, it has a nose on it like a caulking gun cone.
Yep.
And you literally jam that syringe into the hole, plunge it down, and the bleed stops in a matter of 2-3 seconds.
With a coagulant, right?
Incredible.
Yeah.
But if you have that technology, you literally, and see, people don't realize when someone is bleeding, when there's blood leaving their body, their life is leaving their body. You have to deal with blood right now. Now, just to give you an idea, we don't just teach the standard TCCC medic stuff. We also teach practical things. Like, what do you do if you cut your arm, okay, and you're starting to bleed out and you don't have a tourniquet? What do you do? Well, you can grab something like a protein shake or a mug, okay, something round and firm, and you jam that as high in your armpit as you can, yep, and you clamp your arm down on it, and you pull your elbow in and compress your brachial artery. Go find a tourniquet or dial 911.
You can literally stop
yourself from bleeding to death just by knowing these kinds of things that we teach at the Freedom Center. Now, the last guy to save a life, he left the Freedom Center at 5:35 in the evening and headed back to Texas. He stopped for dinner, so he was south of Oklahoma City about 1:15, 1:30 in the morning, and the gal in front of him, 100 yards in front of him, fell asleep and rolled her car. She was hanging upside down in the seatbelt, bleeding to death, and he got through the window and put compression on the area where she was bleeding, had a tourniquet there, everything to keep her from bleeding out. It took the ambulance. She was only 30, 45 minutes south of Oklahoma City. It took the ambulance 40 minutes to get there.
No, I've heard horror stories like that. Yeah, absolutely.
So these skills are very important. And it's not just the IFAC equipment, but having the skills and knowing how to respond to these situations quickly will absolutely save a life.
Yes, like everything else, you cannot have one but not the other. I mean, you just trust me, that's the best combination. Having the equipment, knowing how to use it, or knowing how to make do, that's good, but better is having the equipment, folks. So the that IPAC and the medical kit.
IPAC?
Yeah. What's the weight on that?
The roughly? Weight? Oh, this IFAC probably weighs 2 pounds, roughly.
Okay, so it's not overbearing at all.
No, not at all. And I keep one in my truck. I keep one on my body. I have a much larger kit in my motorhome that we take to the racetrack. I mean, we have all kinds of technology now that is, it makes it so easy to save a life. All you have to do is get a little bit of training on how to use the technology. And it's all there.
Well, you mentioned take one to the racetrack. Folks, I think if you've ever seen him race motorbikes, you should be traveling with a surgical team, you know, and a couple of pints of blood. And, you know, I don't know, man.
They've got six paramedics and three ambulances at the racetrack, and they're spread out around the track because these tracks are 3 to 4 miles long. And there's a lot of good medical help at these big facilities. And the facilities are so much better designed now than they were 35, 40 years ago. And they're just safer. You have gravel, you have runoff. You know, it used to be if you crashed, you slid out of the corner and hit a wall or something and went splat like a tomato. You know, now these tracks are all built to standards where you have runoff room where you can bleed off energy. And if you do hit something, you're going to hit an air fence. So you got this 6-foot block of air, like a giant pillow that you hit, you slide into, that absorbs the energy. And so the technology has advanced so much. The sport of superbike racing is a lot safer than it was 40 years
ago. I guess, because I had to do my rounds when I was in EMS, first responder paramedic thing back in the 70s. You have to do your rounds at racetracks. And let me tell you something. Back then, yeah, not quite like it is today. Okay, so bring a spatula. Back then, you know, it paid to have a spatula in addition to everything else because, yeah, sometimes you need it. All right, fantastic. Folks, again, Sam Andrews. And if you want to, a shot at those, look, Sam's fighting legal battles too. And is it expensive? Hell yeah. I haven't been involved in a legal battle that hasn't been expensive, so I can only imagine. So
yeah, we're over 100 grand now in lawyer's fees, and we're going to trial April 2nd and 3rd of this next month. And so literally 2 weeks away from ending this 6-year-long nightmare.
But see, Sam, and everyone should know this because we're seeing judicial activism. We're seeing the righteous be punished by leftist prosecutors. We're seeing this lawfare being waged in the civil environment against people trying to do the right thing or, you know, adhering to the principles of Christian ideology and morality. So the process is the punishment. For you, the process has been and it continues to be the punishment.
Well, when you're up against a billionaire, you know, in a lawsuit, they're going to drag it out, try to bleed you dry and hope you lay down and quit. But honestly, the Hagman supporters, the John Moore supporters, the Freedom Center students, everybody's chipped in a little bit and kept us in this fight, and much to their dismay. So,
which, you know, that's one thing that people don't know. I'll just say this. Thank you to everyone who has helped, and thank you for those who are considering and help will help. But the objective is to take them out of the game, just as it is with us. For example, look, we're low-hanging fruit, you know, and they put the hurt on us a long time ago. One of the first, and yeah, and we still have the scars, and we still have the financial bruises, and we still have the, but you know what? We're still hanging in there, and that's what they didn't count on, and that's with you the same thing. So, folks, make sure you support Sam Andrews in his lawsuit and his defenses and what have you. And there's also another benefit, too. He does have Sam, I don't know if you want to talk about this right now, but the fact that you're involved with the sale of a product, and look, this is not a sales pitch, because you know what? We don't do those. But how does that work with, for example, the peptide product, if you're interested in that?
I could talk about that a little bit. My wife, we were spending $5,000 a year on supplements.
Right. And easy to do.
Yeah. There's a lot of choices out there. And there are supplements that are very helpful to health, particularly if you've had cardiovascular issues.
Correct.
You need to decalcify your heart, your arteries. There's some really good things out there that work with peptides. But we found with supplements that most of them, not all of them, but most of them only move the needle in a positive direction health-wise if, in fact, your blood work showed you had a deficiency. Other than that, it was nothing positive came from spending the money. Now, when my team decided that we were going to start using peptides and testing them on ourselves, we used ourselves as guinea pigs, we found that the peptides in a tenth of the time with a fifth of the expenditure moved the health needle about 200%, that the technology was real, that it worked, and that it was fantastic. And absolutely miraculous. Now, my wife came to me after we got our second round of blood work up, and I healed my kidneys and I healed my knees and my back. And she fixed a couple of her health issues just incredibly well. And she said, this isn't fair. We can afford this, but most people cannot. And of course, I looked at her and I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And she looked up at me and she said, well, I don't know. I don't know how to make peptides cheaper. I don't have a lab. I'm not a chemist. And I said, well, have you looked into buying these peptides in a large quantity to get the price down? Have you checked that out? Maybe you should look into that. And to her credit, she made a deal with five different manufacturers that all third-party tests make super high-quality product.
Exactly. And she did it again. They're third-party assayed
tested. Third-party tested, yeah, by Janicek Labs or Freedom Diagnostics. Those are the two labs that we use.
The premier labs, by the way, in the U.S.
Yes, the best two out there.
Yep.
And she basically about gave me a heart attack. She basically spent her retirement, took a huge risk, and made a deal with these manufacturers and bought these peptides in a huge quantity to get the price down for people. Now, that's a big risk. And
I know that to be true, folks. And
when you've had two previous wives that stole your retirement,
yeah,
you look at that kind of risk taking a little differently.
But by the way, folks, I want to say one thing, Sam, before you continue with your story. What you're about to hear, I just want to caution everyone. Let me tell you something, okay? If you're talking or if you're thinking about oral peptides, stop. That's not this. There's just stop. No oral peptide. Okay, these are injectable peptides for research purposes only. And the second thing is, if you're looking for guidance, be extremely, I cannot stress that word enough, careful of who you listen to. There are three people on this planet that I trust giving me information about this. You're looking at one, Sam Andrews. The other two, I'm not going to say, but Sam, one of the two. That individual is a YouTube personality doctor. But yes. Do not approach this like a supplement regimen. Understand, here's my advice to you, and then I'm going to shut up. Understand how the process works. Because if you don't, Sam, I thank you for drilling that in my head. If you don't understand the biological process, I don't know what to tell you, except, man, you're not going to get it. And if you're getting your advice on Facebook or social media, oh, please stop. Please stop. Go ahead. Continue. That's all I want to say to people in terms of advice. Oh, the last thing, Sam, and I'm going to leave my last comment about this. Lady, the studio dog, I took her in this afternoon for another. Now, she's had, since the 9th of February, she's had one blood test every week. Okay. The last blood test she had, she had no red blood cells. None. I mean, well, nothing that registered. Mm-hmm. She had, her liver enzymes were unreadable. Okay. And she had some other problems. And also during that visit, she had 103, she had a fever. The dog's temperatures are higher. Anyway, 11 years, 7 months, and 20 days old. My dog, Lady. I began the peptide regimen at the same time. Now, we're talking February 9th is when she had this severe issue. That's when she kind of collapsed, and then it became an emergency situation. So right away, I began with the I didn't have enough information back then, so I consulted with Sam. Sam took care of me in terms of what to do and this and that. So fast forward to today. She's still recovering. She's not 100% out of the woods, but the vet, a different vet now, who actually same office, two vets. The first one is a woman. This time was her main primary vet. It's a guy. Looked at me and said, "You know, I didn't think she was going to make it 24 hours after you left."
Wow.
Okay. And I said, "I know. I laid with her on the floor for 3 days, and I don't. Let me tell you. I mean, I was right there with her. Yes, she had some medication and stuff, but today, and this is a true story, the vet came to me and said, "You know, the numbers on the blood test, I cannot explain." Okay, I just can't explain how. First of all, I can't believe she's still alive. I mean, thankfully she is, and then I can't explain how the numbers got so much better so quickly. Now, he knew I was injecting her with peptides.
Oh, you told him?
Yes, I did tell him. Okay, it was about week two into the crisis, so mid February, and he said, "Well, you know, I don't really know." Today, he said, "Do you mind printing me out the regimen you used?" And which I already, to my credit, I already did print it out for him. And I sent it to him right before the show by email. I will say the game changer in that were peptides in my Lady of the Studio Dog. Now, does that mean that the crisis of health is over? No, it has increased her chances of survival and righted a lot of wrongs on the blood. So, folks, understand, same with me, okay, in terms of my numbers, blood test-wise, some good stuff, some same stuff, numbers, in terms of numbers. All I'm saying is, if you give a shit about yourself, you better do two things. You better listen to Sam, number one, because he's about the closest thing you're going to get to clarity of information. Number two part, stay off of social media and don't think that, you know, a forum or host is going to educate you, understand the biology behind it, the bioscience behind it, and understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Important as to why you're doing it, when you should do it, how much you should use, and also things, traps to avoid. Okay. And in terms of supplements, there's a coexistence with oral supplements, but you know what? You said $5,000 a month. I'm sure you're down. I know you're down. Myself, I'm down to about six supplements, critical supplements. And there you have it. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to pass that information along to the audience because I know some were asking about Lady of the Studio Dog. There's that good news. Myself, good, fair news. Is a be all end all? Well, it depends. It depends on you and it depends on God because you know what? This is not like a ticket forever. Okay. So I'm just saying, go ahead, Sam, to you.
Well, the genie is certainly out of the bottle on peptides. We picked up some Hollywood actors in the last 10 days as clients. We picked up some pro athletes. The word has gotten out that we have something special. My team, I don't want to brag about them, but just remind everybody that our God is a God of the living. Okay. And if you love him and serve him, he will put it on your heart, the truth and what the right thing to do is. And this peptide technology is not human technology. The peptides don't heal your body. What the peptides do is they plug into a cell receptor and they cause something a scientist called gene expression. And this gene expression basically calls a program with a set of instructions and the peptide hits the run button. It's God's program. Everything that peptides do, the body naturally does. It just, it doesn't do it as well when you get older. It doesn't do it as often, or it doesn't do it as strong as signal-wise as it used to. But every piece of information that grew you into that healthy, beautiful 22-year-old you used to be still exists in your genes. The information is there. What we're learning as scientists about peptides is that we can call those programs up and hit the run button. It's still God's program. Peptides are not drugs. They don't work like drugs. Drugs force the body to do things they don't want to do naturally. Peptides ask the body to do what it has always done naturally, and it operates within the natural feedback loop of the body. And once you understand that there are not side effects to peptides used properly, they're not like drugs at all, but they are a miracle. And there are things that peptides do really well, and there's things that peptides cannot do. Like peptides are not good at healing type 1 diabetics. It can improve a type 1's life, but it's not going to cure them. On the other hand, peptides will absolutely cure someone with type 2 diabetes. Peptides will heal broken bones in 9 to 11 days. You can't do that without peptides. You're 6 weeks in a cast. If you're young, it's 5 weeks. If you're old, it may be 9 weeks. Okay? But you can get full bone growth in 9 to 10 days with the right peptide regimen and some hyperbaric treatment and a little electronic and sonic bone stim. Okay? 9 days full bone growth. You want to see an orthopedic surgeon freak out. Walk in after 2 weeks with 100% bone growth. But the wealthy and the elite athletes have been using this technology for 15 years. We know how it works. We've been using it for a long time, just not in America. Now, when the whole COVID thing started, I personally was a little bit distraught. You know, how could God let this kind of deception fall over Americans? What on earth is going on? And now in 2026, I look back and I think, what an incredible blessing the whole COVID thing was right before peptide technology came to this country in a big way. Because what COVID did was it taught every intelligent American, don't you dare trust your doctor or the medical system. And without that history of the COVID, the undermining of the trust of American people, peptides would not have taken off like they have. Now the genie's out of the bottle. RFK was on Joe Rogan just a week ago telling everybody that there's going to be a big announcement legalizing peptides in America in the next 14 days.
Yeah.
I hope Sam keeps his word.
Well, I'm sure he will, but you're going to have some rogue judge on the payroll of Big Pharma said, no, you're not. Kind of like the vaccine schedule. And folks, in the show notes yesterday, I believe I have a link to that original complaint. Look at the plaintiffs. And gee, I wonder who Jane Doe is, but I digress. Okay. But look at the plaintiffs. Yeah. And you know, this is the thing. Again, this program, folks, the Hagmann Report, in its current form, it may not be for you because there's not enough flash. There's too much substance, not enough the glitzy and the blood and the controversy and the condemnation and the, you know, trigger words. Now, look, you mentioned it just now. You said it right now. It's the intellectual depth and also the fact that we are fighting a war that where information is an important commodity, the proper information. And you know what? This is a subject that you can go sideways on this subject if you're not careful, just saying, but go ahead and continue.
Well, the truth is, millions of people around the world, Russians, Japanese, Italians, Germans, have been using peptides to heal people for the better part of 20 years. The drug companies have kept peptides out of Great Britain and out of America. Companies like Eli Lilly. Okay. Peptides are naturally found in the body. That's how the body communicates. There's two systems the body communicates predominantly on. One is electrical signals through nerves, and the other is peptides and cell expression. Okay, those are the two mechanisms that the body gets its work done in. And it's an incredible thing to understand, and it's incredible to be able to take advantage of this new technology. And I sent a bunch of slides to Eric. And since our God is a God of the living, Doug, let's take 5 minutes and cover these slides and explain to people how you die early. And then more importantly, how you prolong the life that God gave you and live a healthier, longer life. Because there's some really simple answers.
The quality life.
Yeah, the quality.
Yeah. I mean, God's going to tell you when your time's up, right?
That's up to him.
Yes, unless you're really stupid and then, you know, decide to skydive without a parachute or whatever. But it's not a ticket to living forever, but it is a way to increase the quality of your life. And if you understand that, plus, everyone should be so pissed off at the FDA, at people like Fauci, for reasons beyond the obvious. These scientists, the CDC, NIH, NAIAD, if you aren't pissed off at these people and the judges and the people and the people, if Big Pharma, if you're not pissed off, because I'll tell you something, okay? If you're not pissed off at them, then you don't understand. But continue with what you're saying. Go ahead.
Doug, I'll give you an example. I had a conversation with two different people today. Well, I talked about 35, 40 people this morning and about 25 this afternoon. But one of the conversations this morning kind of stuck in my head. This woman says to me, well, are these FDA approved? And I said, and this is what I said to her. I said, ma'am, if COVID didn't teach you that the FDA cannot be trusted, I don't think you're smart enough to help. You know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult you, but why would you care what any doctor or the FDA says at this point? Because they're the ones that got you into the exact situation you're in. You just told me you're taking 7 pharmaceuticals right now. Mm-hmm. They're killing you with these poisonous drugs. Why are you listening to them when there's all this new technology that will fix the foundational problems instead of treat your symptoms, mine your wallet, and kill you? And mm-hmm. She said, you know, I guess you're right. They haven't really helped me that much. I've just gotten worse. And then the second conversation I had was with a gentleman. Um, he he was talking to me, asking me to explain to him how peptides work and explaining some of his health issues, you know, and I explained to him that there's this thing called L-glutathione that your liver makes when you're young. It cleans your cells. It binds to poisons and heavy metals and things in your blood so that your kidneys and liver can filter them out. The problem is when you take NSAIDs like aspirin, Tylenol, ibuprofen, naproxen, oxycodone, any other pharmaceutical, it literally destroys your liver's ability to make glutathione. It's like taking the trash out to the end of the street for 30 years and the garbage man never picks a single thing up. Your whole cellular structure is polluted with garbage. Now, let that land for a minute and then consider this latest study that came out about 3 weeks ago that showed when you burn ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is what you do when you live life. You burn ATP, you mix it with oxygen, that gives you your energy. But when you burn ATP, you have exhaust residue. There's five types of exhaust residue. One particular type is responsible for 95% of the cancer and disease in the human body. It's also residue that glutathione will bind with to clean out of your cells to keep you healthy. Now, knowing what we know about pharmaceuticals and what they do to your glutathione levels as a human, and knowing now that the reactive oxygen species, the five types, one of them is responsible for almost all the disease and cancer, the only conclusion an intelligent person could come to is that these pharmaceutical drug companies have known this for over 40 years and have continued to poison and kill Americans for the almighty buck. How can you understand this and not be furious?
A cured patient is of no value to the medical complex, let me tell you. So if they can, yes, they will keep you. I mean, think of it this way. You know, it's easier to keep a client than it is to go out and get a new one. Same with the pharmacy, or same with the pharma, and same with the FDA or the medical doctors. Hey, got a patient? You know what?
So if Eric will throw that slide up, we're going to give people some information that'll help them. Okay. This is what should happen, and we're talking about what happens at night when you go to sleep.
Oh, brother, hang on a second. Do I have to teach you how to take screenshots? I mean, seriously?
Well, man. I actually photographed this off the screen of my computer. I hate looking at phones because I got to wear glasses to see things that small and that close.
But
it's slow for me.
So don't take a picture. Eric the Tech, we got to educate. I mean, you are like one of the most intelligent people I know. Okay. So for you to take a crappy picture like that, sorry to like, you know, take you out to the woodshed publicly, but my goodness.
Well, you know, criticism accepted. Let's get to the information.
Go.
All right. 2 a.m., your cortisol, 2 in the morning, your sleep, your cortisol is supposed to be at a minimum. Your body's designed for cortisol to be at a minimum after you go to sleep. Why? Because cortisol opposes growth, the growth hormone peak in your brain that happens between 2 and 4 a.m. while you're sleeping. This is when the stem cells are expressed and the repair of your brain and your muscles and your bones and your organs. This is when all this happens and all the tissue maintenance gets done. Okay. And whenever Eric's ready, we're going to go to the next slide. Okay. But I want people to understand this process and how simple some of these answers are, because a lot of doctors and people make things complicated. So you rely on them and spend big bucks with them. I'm going to make it simple for you. As soon as Eric gets the next slide up, we're going to talk some more about the role that cortisol plays. Okay. So hypercortisolemia, which means all that's a fancy word for saying your cortisol's too high while you're sleeping. Okay. It has measurable, huge consequences on the stem cells that get expressed while you're sleeping. This is not a small thing to understand. Your cortisol level goes up while you sleep. It's not supposed to do that. It prevents you from sleeping properly, and it prevents your body from repairing itself. By the way, we have learned as scientists that several things have to be in play at the same time for your body to heal. You've got to have surplus ATP, adenosine triphosphate. You've got to have low cortisol, and you've got to have a little pulse of growth hormone, because the growth hormone is critical in the activation of stem cells that accomplish the tissue repair. Let's pop this next slide up here, and we'll keep going on this conversation. Okay? Here is another negative effect of cortisol being high. Damage to your telomeres at the ends of your genetic code. Okay? And this is not only catastrophic to stem cells, it's catastrophic to all of your cells, because when cortisol level goes high, stem cells cannot divide. They cannot replace aging tissue. Okay. And your repair capacity, your ability to repair, doesn't slow down. It just comes to a screeching halt. This is how aging happens. And everybody knows that 55-year-old gal that's doing cardio every day, that tries to live a healthy lifestyle, and she looks like she's 75. Because she's burning all her spare ATP, her cortisol levels through the roof, and her body can't heal at night. So she ages at light speed, way faster than she should. Let's move on to the next slide. I think we've made this point. So now when you understand that high cortisol at night and the repression of stem cells and the counteracting of growth hormone accelerate aging, cause you big joint problems and repair problems of all your tissues. Now let's look at this nocturnal repair window, right? This window opens right around 2 a.m., okay? And your cortisol should be at a minimum from 2 a.m. almost to 4:30 in the morning. This is when the repair happens, particularly if you're in delta sleep or REM sleep stages. This is when you get this peak of growth hormone, and your cells get active, and the stem cells go to everywhere that's damaged, and they start affecting repair. And we're ready for the next slide whenever Eric's ready. Because understanding this whole sleep cycle, circadian rhythm, growth hormone versus the hormone called cortisol, it's a battle at night. And if your rhythm is off and your cortisol is high during your sleep, your body ages and it doesn't repair. Okay. Yep. Now, MCSs, okay, are stem cells. So your growth hormone actually sends a signal to your stem cells to tell them to divide and reproduce and become many. Okay. And then they go to these muscle satellite cells and accomplish the repair. Particularly, some other things are in place. But also, this growth hormone goes to your brain and promotes the repetition and division of stem cells in the brain, something we call neurogenesis. And by replacing damaged cells in the brain, you prevent memory loss, you prevent dementia, you prevent Alzheimer's. And it's so important that we have a little pulse of growth hormone and that our cortisol is level while we're sleeping, so that the brain can do its maintenance and repair, and so the body can do its maintenance and repair. And if you have another slide, Eric, throw it on up there, and we'll just keep going with this.
I'll tell you what, Sam, you keep going, you're going to put those Somalian elder daycare centers out of business, okay? you notice how the snowball effect on this? And folks, the acronyms and the words, the terms that Sam is using, I would recommend write them down, because, again, it is, to me, this is just me, it's so important that you have a basic, or even better than basic, understanding of how the human body works, a basic biological understanding. Know the terms. ATP, for example, is known as the energy currency of life. Okay, so all these terms that Sam is using, it's important to understand what they are and what the different things do and how your body works. I mean, of course, now, you know, the education system doesn't teach that, right? Even in higher learning. I digress. Continue, please.
Well, Doug's exactly right. What does scripture say? My people perish for their lack of knowledge. And if you don't understand these principles, you don't understand that by 8 o'clock in the evening, you should probably be getting away from the phone and the computer screens and all the blue light sources. And by 10 o'clock in the evening, you should be dimming the lights so that your brain and cortisol levels start dropping. And then you should, when you go to sleep, you should sleep in an absolutely dark room. And these kinds of things will help your cortisol levels go down. But there's a supplement. And as much as we dissed supplements early in the show, there's a supplement called ashwagandha. Okay? A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-A, ashwagandha, that has been proven in multiple human trials, placebo groups, double-blind studies, valid scientific experiments with humans, have proven that supplementing with ashwagandha 300 milligrams twice a day will actually lower your cortisol levels at sleep and facilitate your body healing. So if we come full circle, if you didn't understand that explanation of stem cells and how it interacts with growth hormone, it doesn't matter. All you need to know is that ashwagandha is a very effective supplement for bringing cortisol levels down so that growth hormone, when it's released between 2 and 4 a.m., can do its job. It can heal your brain, and it can heal your body. So when you're taking peptides, or you call, you use my company, and I say, yeah, we're gonna lay out this protocol for your pet kangaroo and heal your pet kangaroo. But wait a minute, there's more. There's a few supplements you're going to want to need, depending on if you have sleep issues, if you're trying to heal a joint, if you have cardiovascular issues, you're going to want fibrinolytic enzymes, magnesium, and K2 in the morning on an empty stomach. If you're trying to heal a joint, you're going to want ashwagandha so that you sleep and you get into that full repair cycle. Okay? The science is complicated, but the answers are simple. And we make it simple for you. And for example, my wife, she's such a sweetheart. She knows that about 15% of the people that inject peptides are sensitive to positively ion-charged peptides, things like MOTSI and GHKCU.
Really?
So for free, she sends you a larger bottle labeled with the peptide, a sterile vial, that when you reconstitute these positively ion peptides, you can dilute them more so they don't bother your skin. So you don't have that big reaction to it.
Is that a local? That's the first I've heard of that reaction. Is that local or is that skin?
It's totally local.
Okay.
Yeah, it's absolutely local. You have something called mast cells in your skin when you inject subcutaneous, and positively charged ion peptides, the ones that give you energy. Okay, that up your ATP production. They're very important. But when you inject them, about 15% of the population, their mast cells are pushed to the threshold with paint fumes, exhaust fumes, cleaners that they clean the kitchen with, all these things. And when their mast cells are filled up almost to the threshold level, this positively charged ion peptide, when you inject it locally, the cells that are exposed to that positively charged ion, it pushes their mast cells over the threshold, and so they express histamine, and they get a little lump and a little redness and a little irritation.
I got you. Okay. Yeah.
But if you dilute it, you dramatically, 80, 90% reduce any type of irritation at all.
Okay.
And see, that's the kind of thing that we do for customers. We give them peptides in the right quantities. So if you want 2 months supply, we're going to get as close to 2 months as we can with the vial sizes the peptide manufacturers will manufacture for us. Where most people, they have a website and you have 400 peptides and it's like, oh, wow, what do I pick?
Exactly.
But I take your medical history. If you're willing to buy from my wife's company, and we give you exactly what you need in the right amount, we don't sell you things you don't need, and we don't leave things out that you do need.
For your pet dog, folks, for your dog, okay.
Your dog or your pet kangaroo. Yeah. And as long as you agree that everything I say to you is for educational purposes only and is not medical advice, and we can help people get rid of pain and heal their body at a level that is unthinkable 10 years ago for an American.
And if I can interject one thing real quick, Sam is the one that brought me to this realization, okay? Because you're going to hear on, hey, Joe Rogan, going to have a guest on talking about peptides, not RFK, but you know, saying, hey, this is what you need to do, and this is the thing. I mean, folks, we're at the beginning of this cusp of popularity in this country. But along with that comes a lot of bullshit, okay? Now, I just want to give you one example. Sam earlier mentioned a peptide called MOTC, MOTSC-C. And some people say, okay, this is to restore energy. I'm giving you a very short version, kind of like the Facebook version, right? Okay, well, here's what they don't tell you. And this is what Sam may tell you, or perhaps, and I could be wrong, Sam, correct me if I am, but you know, when you take high doses, for example, or the improper dose of MOTC, what happens is you start to feel like crap. And because you heard maybe from your on Facebook or from whatever, hey, this is supposed to give you energy. And then you start feeling like crap. Well, if you don't understand what that substance does or was supposed to do and the synergistic components along with that substance, you're not going to use it right. You're going to be
into that.
Okay, so for example, MOTC. Again, if you know, okay, if you've heard about this on Facebook or somewhere else, again, if you know, you know. I'm not being an internet doctor, but I'll just say this. If you take the improper dose and you don't take, for example, the NAD plus, okay, NAD plus, along with that. But you have to understand the function of what MOTC does and then understand the function of NAD plus. If you don't take them in a certain time period, somewhat together, so they act synergistically, and your diet, if you, you know, you should have some carbohydrates in your diet when you're on this protocol.
Amen.
And oh, CoQ10 is a necessity, as well as magnesium. But gee whiz, if you go to, I don't know, maybe your doctor, hey, here's a bottle of CoQ10. Did you know there are different kinds of CoQ10 out there? I'm gonna mess up their names. Ubiquitone and Ubiquitol. You got to get the right CoQ10, not just, you know, Walmart and CVS. No. You got to get the right kind. In that case, it'll be Ubiquitol. And you have to get the right milligram as well as magnesium. You got to get the right kind. It's glycinate, magnesium glycinate. And you better be, you know, putting 400 milligrams of that into your body. Not a combination of D3, K2, none of that crap. Okay, so there is a process to this. If you think you can get away with just reading posts, comments, and shit on stuff that you see on social media or the podcasts that talk about this but don't tell you that, well, hey.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Doug. You know, I am so frustrated with American doctors. They are destroying the women in this country.
Yeah.
They're prescribing these GLP drugs, Mounjaro, you know, Jumanji, whatever, you know, tirzepatide and semaglutide. And one's a GLP-1, one's a GLP-2. And they're giving them these massive doses. They're having diarrhea, nausea, acid reflux. They feel miserable. They're down on energy. They're causing bone loss. They're causing organs to cannibalize themselves. They're causing nerve issues with muscles and major muscle loss. This is not a health win for the American woman. Okay. But when you do what you just talked about, which is take a systemic approach where you look at the whole system and you go, okay, if I'm going to do one, I'm going to do A, this is going to cause this set of effects. So I need to also support B, C, and give D a little support too. And when you do it right, you feel amazing. Okay. You have more energy. You're stronger. Your training sessions build muscle. You get healthier in every respect. Your brain gets sharper when you do it right. But when you throw a GLP at somebody and say, here, take a massive dose of this, you're chubby, and you destroy their